Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 13 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This week, we're continuing our series on the nature of God with a look at God's love. The Bible passage for the topic of love is Romans 8, 31 to 39. I'll read it from the English Standard Version, the ESV. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not counting the resurrection of Jesus, the four Gospels record 37 miracles that Jesus performed. I'll list them and discuss them in a minute. Before I do, I want you to consider this question. Why did Jesus perform miracles? I'll pause for 30 seconds to allow you some time to think about it. People propose a variety of reasons for why Jesus performed miracles. Here are some. He wanted to prove that he was greater than Moses. He wanted to demonstrate that he possessed the power of God. He wanted to fulfill various prophecies about the Messiah. He wanted to strengthen the faith of his followers. There are merits to all those reasons, but I think that none of them gets to the heart of why Jesus performed miracles. In the second half of John chapter 10, Jesus gives a really good reason why he performed miracles. In this passage, Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem. Some Jews confront him and demand that he tell them whether or not he is the Christ or the Messiah. Jesus responds by describing himself as the Good Shepherd and then says plainly, "I and the Father are one." When the Jews pick up stones to stone him for blasphemy, Jesus says, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answer they're not stoning him for what he has done, but for whom he claims to be. And so Jesus says this, "If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." In other words, the miracles were signs or evidence that Jesus is God. But I think there's another reason why Jesus performed the vast majority of his miracles. I think that he did them to demonstrate his love, God's love, for each of us. There are two miracles that don't fit my theory well at all. The first is at the end of Matthew 17. Jesus tells Peter to go fishing and that the first fish Peter catches will have a shekel inside its mouth, which Peter can use to pay the temple tax for Jesus and Peter. The second miracle takes place the day after Palm Sunday. Jesus curses a fig tree that has no fruit, and the tree withers. Both of those miracles are, admittedly, a little strange. but I'll make the case that the other 35 recorded miracles demonstrate God's love for people. Let's start with the easy ones. The Gospels record 25 times where Jesus healed people of physical or spiritual ailments. Here they are in roughly chronological order. He healed an official's son at Capernaum. He healed Peter's mother-in-law when she was sick with fever. He drove out an evil spirit from a man in Capernaum. He healed many sick and oppressed at evening. He cleansed a man with leprosy. He healed a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum. He healed a paralytic who was let down from the roof. He healed a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. He cast demons into a herd of pigs. He healed a woman in the crowd who had been suffering from a blood discharge for 12 years. He healed two blind men. He healed a man who was unable to speak. He healed an invalid at Bethesda. He healed many sick in Gennesaret as they touched his garment. He healed a Gentile woman's demon-possessed daughter. He healed a deaf and dumb man. He healed a blind man at Bethsaida. He healed a man born blind by spitting in his eyes. He healed a boy with an unclean spirit. He healed a blind, mute demoniac. He healed a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. He healed a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. He cleansed 10 lepers on their way to Jerusalem. He restored sight to Bartimaeus in Jericho. And finally, during the arrest of Jesus, when Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus healed the ear. The Gospels also record three times where Jesus did the ultimate healing, raising someone from the dead. He raised a widow's son from the dead in Nain. He raised Jairus' daughter. This happened right after the crowd scene where Jesus healed the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And he raised Lazarus, his friend Lazarus, who had been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus also did 5 miracles that you can call food miracles because they blessed certain people with the food that they needed or even more food than they needed. He turned water into wine at a wedding in Cana, which was a blessing to everyone, but especially to the father of the bridegroom, who was responsible for providing enough wine for the entire multi-day celebration. He brought a huge catch of fish to Simon Peter and other fishermen. He fed 5,000 men and women and children with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. Then he fed 4,000 men, along with women and children, with 7 loaves and a few small fish. And finally, he brought a second huge catch of fish to Simon Peter and other disciples. It's not difficult to see the food miracles, the healing miracles, and the raising of people from the dead as expressions of Jesus' love for people. That leaves 2 more miracles that are, shall we say, a little different. The first is Jesus calming a storm on the sea. It might be difficult to see this miracle as an expression of Jesus' love for his disciples. After all, right after he calmed the storm, they were terrified of him. 3 episodes ago, when I covered greatness, I said that God's greatness is so overpowering that it makes him unapproachable. In the boat with Jesus, the disciples had a front row seat to the greatness of God, but they didn't have to hide from God. Jesus may have terrified them, but he still was approachable. He still was their friend who loved them. Okay, that leaves 1 more miracle, and you may struggle to see this one as an expression of God's love for people. It's Jesus walking on water, which is recorded in Matthew 14. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got to the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's consider what happened right before this miracle. Jesus had been keeping a grueling schedule. He had been traveling from town to town, teaching and healing, teaching and healing. The crowds were getting bigger and bigger. Then Jesus received word that John the Baptist had been executed by Herod. To Jesus, John wasn't a random wilderness preacher. The two were born about 6 months apart, and their mothers were relatives. John started his ministry first to prepare the way for Jesus. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." When Jesus started his own ministry, he asked John to baptize him, even though John objected. Later, when John was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to confirm that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jesus sent back a message of confirmation and reassurance. When John was executed, Jesus needed some time to himself, to mourn John's death and to pray. But the crowds gave him no time. When they heard that he had withdrawn by himself to a desolate place, they followed him there by the thousands. So he taught them, and he healed their sick. When evening came and they had nothing to eat, he fed them dinner. 5,000 men, along with women and children, were fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. After he dismissed the crowd, Jesus instructed his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee. Finally, he had some time to himself. But it was evening, and then it was night, and then it was the middle of the night, and again, his time was cut short. The disciples' boat was caught in a storm. Several of them were experienced fishermen, but it was the middle of the night. They couldn't see anything. They needed help. So Jesus went to them, right to them, by the most direct route possible, by walking across the Sea of Galilee. He didn't do it to scare them or to impress them or to make some point about his divine nature. He did it for the same reason that he had ministered to the crowd hours earlier. He did it because he loved them. Next week, I'll talk about peace. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.